Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody is having a good day thus far. We now speak with Forever Titan, Chris Sanders. The Ohio State is where he went to college. He was a track star and a football star. Chris, how you doing?
Superman. Hey, appreciate the introduction, man. You got it right. The Ohio State University. You're my guy, man. Used to be a mean guy, but you're actually nice now. Thank you, sir.
I nailed it today, didn't I?
You did, man. You really, really did, man. I mean, the last time we talked, we were talking about your receiver skills, and I feel bad for telling everybody that your route running was pretty bad, so I'm sorry about that.
I don't think anybody's surprised. So how have you been through all this? We haven't
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I mean, I've been eating a whole bunch. I'm up to like 215, 220.
Ooh.
And I've been sitting around eating a whole bunch of cereal. I've still been lifting two days a week. And then I've been watching a lot of Judge Judy, boy. I tell you, she's getting cuter and cuter every single day, boy. Every day.
And her bank account keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
You know that you're bored when you're watching the show and you know her hair's changed from, you know, some different episodes. I'm like, man, her hair's changed. That's how you know you are bored to death, when you're worried about how her hair looks. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing?
Just so you know, we are on the air live, so people did hear that.
Oh,
so I just wanted you to know that. Yeah.
But I'm all just, the time, Chris.
But she's getting cute, though, for real.
Let's start with, there's a bunch of things we want to run by you. Let's start with, you're on the high school side of things. You've been an NBA for a long time now. And so going through this, as none of us has ever had to deal with this before, now you're on the coaching side and teaching, and so you've got a couple things in play. How do you anticipate, and how much do you guys actually talk over Zoom or whatever about what's the best way to go about this moving forward?
You know, that's a great question. It really is hard because physically you can't be with the athlete or physically be there, but we're talking a whole bunch. It's funny that you say that, because we had a Zoom meeting this morning with all our players and Zoom meeting with the coaches, and it's a big adjustment. I mean, you can only talk about the basic stuff. You can't really talk about technique. When you talk about technique, you can't really demonstrate it because they physically cannot see you. So that's kind of the hard part about it. But the good part about it is I know this sounds cliche-ish, but when you're communicating a lot with your players and you're communicating a lot with your coaches, you're building a relationship. And some of the kids that we got this year are fairly new, so I'm getting to know them. I may not know them physically. I may not have shaken their hands. But seeing them over Zoom and getting to know their character and getting to know how they talk and getting to feel their heartbeat through conversation, that's the plus part about it. But now we start June 1st, and then we start June 1st. So the good thing about it is I already built a relationship with them over Zoom, but now physically I can see and teach them the right technique.
So what are the kids saying? That's the one thing kind of lost in all this, as we have as we've talked to a lot of coaches or administrators, but we're not really talking to the kids or the student athletes on the college side. Are they asking questions? Because I'll just be perfectly honest. I've said it on this show many times.
Sure.
This is just my dealings in what I've seen. I am not I'm not casting a net and saying they're all like this. But basically what I've seen with my eyes is 18 years or younger, they're aware of everything. They have firsthand knowledge of everything. But when they get together with their friends, neighborhood friends, whatever, it all goes out the window. They don't. So there is no social distancing with the younger generation. That's been my observations. So are they asking questions? How would you answer that?
You know, the funny thing about it is, and I know this is kind of goofy, is when I first turned on Zoom, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And the funny thing about it is once I actually got them on the screen, they were telling me what to do. I mean, so they already actually know on what to do. So in that sense, they helped me. But, man, just overall, man, Darren, it is tough. I mean, they are asking questions. You know, they are talking a lot. But, man, it's just an adjustment, not just for the coaches. It's adjustment for everybody because, you know, last year at this time, we were running routes. We were catching passes, but now we got to talk over the computer. And I think right now that a lot of the kids, and I'm just going to be, you know, kind of frank and be honest, that a lot of kids are really tired of it right now is because, you know, they had to do it with their graduation. And now they got to do it with football. Then now they had to do it in all their classes. And, you know, even though they have to go through it, you know, a lot of them are really sick of it is because they're cooped up in their homes. They're constantly on a computer. You know, they want to be outside doing football. But when you're consistently on a computer, then I just think it's tough because you're taking the physical part about it out.
That is well said. That is, you're right. There's a lot that has gone into their school year came to an abrupt halt.
Yeah.
This, their daily routine. They're like, I was talking about that earlier, like, we, for the first time through all of this week, we sent Maddox to basically Taekwondo, which is kind of like a summer camp. It's where he goes every summer when it's normal conditions, and we're doing it every other week. And really the main reason, Chris, was just to try to get some type of structure. It wasn't because let's get him the hell out of the house. He's driving us crazy. It's not that. It was it's just to try to get some structure back into his life because it's been wide open for 2.5 months.
I mean, it's a big adjustment for everybody. I mean, even for me, you know, just figuring out how to log on a computer and learning about Zoom and learning about so many things. So as a coach, I had to adjust because I knew a little bit about computers, just a little bit. So now I had to adjust on how to work the computer, how to do Zoom, how to send people emails and get everybody online. So even though it's a tough situation, the positive thing about it is I became computer savvy. I know that sounds kind of goofy, but even though it's a negative thing, I became computer savvy because some of the kids taught me how to do it. I'm serious. Some of the kids taught me how to do it. Some of the coaches taught me how to do it.
So
now once I get into the football season, and I can't physically be with the guys, you know, on Saturday, I can just shoot them an email and I can see them face to face. So that's the good thing about the whole situation.
We're talking to Chris Sanders. Chris, you've made some really great points, I think.
Thank you.
You know, through these challenges, we come out with some things that maybe we didn't get before, especially
exactly
trying to tune in. Well, you know, tuning into a teenager is not always easy, right? We can all say that as parents. We could say that as, you know, there's a fine formula to try to really have a – whether it's you're talking about your son or daughter or somebody that you coach. But these unique circumstances, you know, you really work on that, and you do have the attention, right? Can you cite an example of – maybe a conversation you have with somebody that you're saying, had it not been for this, I'd have never had that conversation.
You know, and just kind of go back to what you said before, it's a how you approach it. You know, I know these kids are tired of being on the computer and tired of, you know, looking at all their teachers and tired of looking at their coaches. But the one thing I love about Coach Eberhard, our head coach for NBA, he just said, you know, we're going on business as usual. And I know that's kind of hard to say and cliches to say, but, you know, you got two choices, to get bitter or get better. And I think that the people that are going to be successful through this pandemic, the people that's going to be successful through everything, is how you approach it. Yeah, there's going to be some difficulties. Yeah, there's going to be times where you don't want to show your face. Yeah, there's going to be times where you have to log on. There's going to be times when your Wi-Fi goes out, all that crazy stuff. But you got a choice. You got a choice to get bitter or you got a choice to get better. And it's just how you approach every situation, every conversation.
Well, what can you share with us, Chris,
sure,
about, you know, what your school, you know, the kids you coach, mm-hmm, what measures you're taking to try to, you know, create that environment? We know we're going to have to make some adjustments, but as you said, you want to be ready to play. As long as you got the green light, the kids want to play, you guys want to play, everybody wants to see games. Mm-hmm. So what's going on at NBA specifically?
You know, what we're doing is we just kind of go back to last year. You know, last year at this time, we showed up to practice. We showed up to catch the football. We showed up to do meetings. And this is what Coach Eberhard said. We just got to be business as usual. Yes, we're on a computer, but we're still focusing on our vision. We're still focusing on our identity of our team. You know, even though we're on a computer, even though, you know, we're doing things not of the norm, our identity hasn't changed. So even though we're on a computer, we still have offensive meetings. We still split up as wide receiver meetings, DB meetings, linebacker meetings. We're still doing those things. It just happens to be on a computer. So, you know, with NBA, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I know we're still learning on the run. But the one thing we're doing is we're still holding on to our identity, but it's just in different circumstances.
We are talking to forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
And Darren Donick and Chase. Good to hear your voice, my friend.
Man, it's good to hear you too, man.
It's been a minute, but I want to talk some football with you.
Sure.
Because a couple things have come to mind, and you obviously played the receiver position. You know how important mm-hmm. it is to be on the same page with your quarterback. And,
yes.
you know, during this time, OTAs, I mean, that's a good opportunity for receivers and QBs to get some one-on-one time and work on, you know, some of those things that, you know, just getting on the same page. And they yeah. obviously can't do that. So what would be some tips from you of whether it's studying film or having a conversation mm-hmm. between the receiver and the quarterback that can help some of that for whenever they're able to actually get together?
You know, I mean, I think it's going to be really huge. And even though they may not physically be on the field, there's some good things you can really, really do. Like when you get on Zoom and you have everybody in that room, when I say room, everybody's on that same page. And just imagine you having Tannehill talking to Corey Davis over at the same time, talking to A.J. Brown or Batson or all those other receivers, or even John New in that same room. This is a great opportunity for Tannehill to show his leadership skills about, okay, we watched last year when we played the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, I want you here. Look at zone. If it's in zone, cover three, A.J. Brown, I need you to cut the route off. So you're getting the communication part, but physically you're not there. I just think that the team that's going to be successful, the team that's going to win a Super Bowl this year, is a team that is definitely going to be committed to doing those things, because there's going to be guys that are going to be tired of getting on the computer, that's going to be tired of saying, I'm tired of looking at guys on the screen. But if you're dedicated to say, you know what, when you send me that email, I'm going to click it and make sure that when it's time for us to watch film, that we're going to watch that film. I mean, just the other day, I was talking to Kern, the punter. And he was kicking the ball for CJ, whatever. And he said, man, this is one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I said, why? He said, the thing about this is when I'm on the Zoom with my teammates, I get to know them personally as opposed to just knowing them as a football player. I mean, that's huge, because we always talk about camaraderie. We always talk about guys playing together as a team. So here's a situation where you can communicate with your guys and make it be successful, even though it's a pandemic.
Now, with all that said, when you look at the Titans and the receivers for the mm-hmm. Titans, everyone's coming back. Tajae Sharpe's the only one that right. is leaving. There are no new additions outside of some undrafted rookies that'll mm-hmm. be in training camp trying to make the team. So how important is that you have Ryan Tannehill, that he knows these guys and he's worked with these guys before?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, look at Peyton Manning. I mean, if you watch Peyton Manning when he was with the Indianapolis Colts, you know, look at what the receivers that he had. He had Harrison. He had some other receivers. If you watch those guys, the quarterback is always coaching those guys up, always talking to those guys, and just really communicating with them. And I think Tannehill, if he does the exact same thing, is just make sure he keeps those guys in the loop. Make sure he's communicating them on the route tree. Make sure he's communicating about the coverages. Make sure he's communicating about how he wants him to run those routes. So I just think with these young guys, I think it's a plus, because now, as opposed to just getting on the field and just running the routes and Tannehill not seeing running routes, now Tannehill can get on Zoom and say, let me coach you up on this. This is how I want you to run your route. If it's cover three, I want you to run a slant like this, or I'm running a seam. Now you're coaching guys up, even if you're physically not being there.
What do you think about the proposed rule of onside kicks, that they would just make it a 4th and 15?
That is whack. I mean, I don't understand it. It's like, why do we keep changing all these rules? You know, it's like we're going to go back to Atari. I don't know if you ever remember Atari, do you? Yep. I mean, we're going back to that.
I'm there, Chris.
When I said Atari, I was like, what? But, okay, ColecoVision, is that better?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like we keep changing these rules, and we're just taking the essence and the pureness out of football. So I just think that we just got to just leave these rules alone. And I think we saw a bad disaster, you know, the situation when we tried to change the pass interference rule last year. It was a disaster. Now they went back to doing it the right way. So I just think that if we just leave the onside kick stuff alone and just let it be as how it's been, it'll be successful.
Come on, man. We know about Pong, okay? We go all the way back to Pong.
That's on the chart. No, oh, dude, that is old school. Let's see if you remember this. In television.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
You don't remember it.
Yes, I do.
You guys are telling your age right now that you have to be 55 and over.
No, that's not true. You don't have to be 55 or over. That's not true.
More like 45 and over.
I was going to say 45 and over is about right.
But ColecoVision, wow. ColecoVision, Atari, Intellivision, and then Nintendo. Yes, sir.
See, I was just a Nintendo guy. But I played
the
Nintendo's a little later.
Yeah, he's a young pup.
Yeah, but I did, like, when I was really young, the Super Nintendo had come out, but I played the original Nintendo. Like, I was all about the original Nintendo.
With Bo Jackson on there in the football game, you can never tackle him.
Yep.
You don't remember that. You don't remember that.
I'm playing.
What's the status on CJ?
You know what? He's been waiting for all the teams to open up, and there's probably going to be 8 or 9 teams that he's going to work out for. It's funny because we're at the gym right now, and he's grinding, man. So he's just waiting for one of those teams to call, and when they totally open up their facility, and then he's going to go work out. So he's excited about that. He's going to grind, and he's going to light this doggone league up.
That is awesome. Last thing real quick.
Sure.
Just because you went through this, A.J. Brown burst onto the scene, big rookie season.
Yeah.
But he's going to have a lot more eyeballs on him going into year two. So he's not going to sneak up on any teams or defensive coordinators. So what's the biggest adjustment he needs to make at his position going from year one to year two?
You know, just looking at him, I know on the physical side, you know, everybody knows their physical specimen. I mean, he catches the quick pass and run after the catch is outstanding. But the one thing that he needs to really work on is getting off the press. You know, I think if he finds out, I think if Rob Moore, the wide receiver coach, keeps teaching him how to get off the press, I think he can be dangerous in that area. But off the field, this is the one thing that he cannot do, even on the field, is don't listen or don't succumb to the pressure. Don't say, well, you're the number one wide receiver, and start tightening up and start doing things that you're not usually doing. Just do what you did on what you did when you came in as a rookie. Just play football. Because when I came in my second – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's just like when I came in my second year, the expectations were so high. So now I feel like on every play I had to make it. And when I had to make the play, I played tight. So I just think that with A.J. Brown, he's just got to make sure that he doesn't succumb to the pressure and just make plays like he did last year.
In other words, stay out of your own head.
Stay out of your own head. That's exactly right.
And you said also you don't want him to tighten up. Is that what you said?
Yeah, do not tighten up. I mean, because when you did you throw a joke?
Wow. And you walked right into that.
Hey, when you go home, would you open up the pantry? There's a can of corn.
Chris, always a pleasure.
You continue to be
safe. And don't put on any more weight, man. You put on muscle. Don't put on any more weight.
Hey, I'm kind of swole. I got these trap muscles. I can catch a mice on my shoulder. Telling you.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Forever Titan, Chris Anders. He's never dull. Never dull on the show. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Chris Sanders, as always. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get into more hockey stuff with him. We had a great conversation with Predators general manager David Poile back at 11 o'clock on the show. But let's talk a little bit of football right here. I saw where ESPN, we really didn't get a chance to get into this, and I know Chase, we'll actually save this here for just a moment. I think you and Ryan touched on some questions concerning this Titans team going into the season, and maybe we can answer those questions that you guys threw out this morning in the rundown. But ESPN.com had some of their experts debate kind of some categories going into this season. And so I think one that let's start with, and I want to preface it by saying I don't want it to be Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, okay? Because I know understand that everybody would grab. So who has, is somebody other than Lamar Jackson and Mahomes, how would you answer the pick to be the 2020 MVP of the league? Because it's interesting, Mike Clay picked Kyler Murray. Jeremy Fowler, who we just had on recently, picked Matthew Stafford. Now, you're talking about a bold pick. That is beyond bold. And Mina Kimes took Patrick Mahomes, which, you know, once again, that is not.
And I have to pick a quarterback?
Aaron Schatz also took Mahomes. Seth Walder, sports analytics writer, Dak Prescott. So I just want to leave the two obvious names out and kind of think outside the box a little bit. So, Willie, how would you answer league MVP not named Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
Well, the last time we watched some football, I can tell you there was a guy playing for the Titans that if it weren't one of the two names you just mentioned, it absolutely would have been him. Any argument?
Derrick Henry?
Of course.
No argument. I don't have an argument with that.
There was nobody that was more valuable to his team than Derrick Henry other than Mahomes or Jackson.
They just always give it to a quarterback, or most of the time.
Well, I mean, the MVP is not just for quarterbacks. It's not like the Cy Young, you know, for a pitcher. This is the most valuable player in the league. There's no doubt in my mind it was Derrick Henry. Now, I don't know if you could say it for the whole 16 games, but certainly by the end of the season, and he was the rushing champion, mm-hmm. right? So why not Derrick Henry? That's an easy answer for me.
Can you name the last non-quarterback to win the MVP?
How long ago was it?
2012.
2012.
J.J. Watt?
8 years ago. I don't think so.
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson. Okay. That makes sense. So Adrian Peterson was the last MVP that wasn't at the quarterback position. That was 2012.
Yeah, and then before that, it was actually 05 and 06, Sean Alexander and then LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. Won it, but back-to-back years.
It takes a pretty special season for the running
back. Did Lawrence Taylor ever win one going way back?
Yes, 1986.
Does anybody believe Aaron Rodgers, this is the hot poker, the hot fire poker right in the rear end with what Green Bay did at the draft? Is this have him come out so incredibly motivated, so incredibly mad and wanting to show them, oh, yeah, does anybody believe he could be the answer to that question?
Who's he throwing to?
Well, he's still got Davante Adams.
Yeah, okay. So
I give him a shot. I mean, he's a special player. If he's clicking, he's got a chance to be in the discussion.
But that's been the narrative. You asked that question, Jace. That's been the narrative his entire career, and we never said that before until now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like you've never said, yeah, but who's he throwing to all these years? Because you could say the same thing, but nobody ever said it.
He's had. It just feels like he's had a little bit more in years past, but that is fair.
But actually, we've already seen it. The numbers show us that really they've always just gotten him third, fourth, fifth round receiver. I mean, they've never put any stock into getting him big time weapons.
But Cobb had some good years. You know, Adams, of course, he's had for a few years. So, but yeah, it's fair. I don't see it. I don't think lighting a fire under him and him being pissed off for greatness is going to lead to an MVP. My vote, taking those guys out. I go Russell Wilson. That's what
it's
I
a good
say.
One. It's a good one. So if the MVP were to come out of the AFC South, not named Derrick Henry, let me throw this one at you guys. What about Deshaun Watson? Or did trading away Hopkins ruin that for him?
I think it lowers the chances. I mean, he's extremely valuable. I don't know if they're anywhere where of course, history has shown when he hadn't been in there, there's been such a huge drop off. They're a completely different team. So he's very, very valuable. But winning the MVP in the league, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could certainly be in the conversation, but I think losing DeAndre Hopkins is going to be huge for him. And we're about to see just how good he really is. Now, if he has a lights out year without DeAndre Hopkins, then heck yeah, he deserves to win the MVP. But we're going to just see if he can be even better. But I think it hurts his chances.
All right. Do you want to throw out a couple of categories you guys discussed this morning in the 9 o'clock hour that maybe we could answer?
Yeah. Well, we didn't. We've kind of had this discussion previously. Today we were more hockey and baseball. But you're just talking about...
Maybe it was yesterday. The days are running together.
Yeah, I know they are for me too. So are you just talking about the Titans specifically and where they improved, or more along the lines of the article I sent you guys?
I thought you guys had thrown out a couple categories involving the Titans. I may have heard it wrong.
Well, we did. We just did position by position of where we think they've gotten better or worse or stayed the same.
Okay.
that was kind of where we went with it at the end of last week. And, you know, I actually did that exercise with Floyd when I sat in on Friday. And, you know, I think everything was pretty consistent with what a lot of us have thought of. There's still questions on, you know, a speed corner or pass rush or another receiver, you know, a burner receiver, even though you feel okay about the receiver group, you don't feel great. So that was really kind of where we had gone with it and the offensive line.
I think what's an interesting category to talk about is to go over under same season, better season, worse season than last year. So let's start with Ryan Tannehill. Better season, worse season, the same season.
I think worse, but that may not
be
bad.
You lead with the hardest question.
I just don't think it's realistic to think he's going to do better than last season. He can't do any better than last season. He played as well as he could possibly play, in my opinion. So he's going to have a drop-off. The question is how much of a drop-off. And I think it'll be still a good level of play. I feel like he's a good fit with the personnel around him. He's got good weapons. He's comfortable. He's got a good chemistry with a lot of the players. I think he'll be productive, just not as productive as he was last year.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to agree with Willie on that. I lean more towards it's either going to be a slightly worse or the same. But I don't. I'm with you. I think they're going to just rely on Derrick Henry a lot more, and he has the weapons. And you know, like I brought up with Chris, they've now had a year together, and you're not having a lot of turnover in that room. You're going to have the same pieces in place. He really likes Jonnu Smith. They really hit it off. So, you know, I guess you could say that there could be a spark, but just conventional wisdom would tell me he's going to be a little bit worse.
Derrick Henry.
I think same. I feel
same.
Like he, oh yeah.
Okay.
I think the drop off is likely to happen in another year or two. If I'm the Titans, I'm hoping for about three more years of. I mean, that's
so 1,500 yards rushing.
Oh yeah,
18 touchdowns.
I don't know. Touchdowns doesn't concern me. It's just the production of the yards. If he's going to be out there, if he can play 15 or 16 games and take the workload that he's taken, he'll get the yards.
Okay,
I think he's going to be better.
I think he's going to be better than 15, 40, 16 touchdowns, 200 yards receiving, two receiving touchdowns. So almost 1,750 total yards and 18 touchdowns. You think he'll be better?
I do. I know that's crazy, but I really do, because I just think that man is so determined. And it to me, it doesn't matter what contract he's playing on. If he's playing on the franchise tag or they get a long-term deal done, which I still believe that's what they're going to do, I think – the determination and the build of him, his mentality is he's just hungry every play. Now, my concern is what Willie just brought up, you know, when do the wheels fall off? Because we all know that's going to happen with a running back. It does, especially when you're feeding him the ball over 300 times. They did that last year, 303 yards. He's our 303 carries. He's already at the 800 mark in his career. So, that concerns me a little bit, but I think they're going to ride the hot hand, as they say, and I think he's going to be even better than he was last year.
Well, if he's better than his numbers last year, the answer to the first question is Derrick Henry. The MVP not named Jackson or Mahomes, if he has better numbers than last year, he's going to be the league MVP. He just is. I mean, we're talking about flirting with 2,000 – you're talking about 2,000 total yards and – more than 18 touchdowns as your MVP. I mean, there's really nothing. That's your answer if you truly believe that.
I do. Now, I'm not saying 2,000. I'm just saying better than 1,540. I mean,
Well, 1,750 total. I mean, 1,540 rushing, 206 yards receiving, 16 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe he's going to be even better. And again, I recognize
he was on a bad hamstring for part of the year last year, and they sat him out an entire game. I feel like now the
and you can
the question
say
is
healthy. But...
Right. The if healthy is everything. I think if we knew he was going to be healthy, I'd be even more bold in what he's going to do. But I'm saying he wasn't 100% healthy last year and still came up with those numbers, and it took a while for that offense to click. They're starting with the personnel, the system that they're comfortable with from last year, which is something they've been searching for years, right? So I feel pretty good about that. But you never know. I mean, the year after, you know, that heavy workload, you know, the extra carries in the three postseason games, you know, studies show that can regress you a little bit. It's just there is a depreciation on great running backs, as we know. It's well documented.
He is.
I think the contract is a worthy thing to throw out there, is how will he react with the contract situation.
But you're guaranteeing a contract in the next month.
What do you mean? That he signs a long-term deal?
Yeah.
How am I guaranteeing that?
Well, was that what you were saying, Willie? How does he react to his contract?
Well, he's under contract for this year, but I do think it's an X factor. What happens in terms of do they make any headway or does this become a cloud?
Yes.
A distraction. I think it still can be at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I didn't know if you were saying how does he react to, you know, signing a big contract, and I said so you're guaranteeing a contract in the next.
Some people
month
can
or
put
so.
It aside and still do a great job and not be affected. Others are affected by what's happening on the business side of things.
I hear what you're saying on that, but and personally I thought okay this could be drawn out, but then he signed the tender. He signed the franchise tag tender, and you know there are some players that still haven't. Like they got the tag, but he signed it, so it's like he's willing to just say, "Yeah, you know what? I'll play on this." And the makeup that he has, and just everything we've kind of learned about him, I feel like he's more motivated by going out and playing the game, and the rest will work itself out. I could be completely wrong, but that's just what I think. And I was just told he's 40-1 to win the MVP. I just feel like there's that determination in him of, okay, 1,500 yards rushing. Yeah, let's go for 2,000. Now, will he get there? I don't know. You can't predict things like that. I just think it's silly to say, yeah, he'll get 2,000. But I do believe that he's just got that build, and he wants to get paid. He deserves to get paid. But that's not necessarily his motivation.
Well, if you feel that strongly about it, you should be throwing. If it's 40-1, that's not exactly great odds. So I haven't seen the list, but that's
yeah. But that wasn't
the
question.
The
question is you took away the two favorites.
Yeah.
In your question, you took away Mahomes and Jackson. I would say that if you did odds of who wins the MVP, if it's not Mahomes or Jackson, the odds aren't 40-1.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't know what theirs are. I mean, probably Mahomes is. I don't know. What is his? Do we know? 2-1? 3-1? 4-1? I don't know.
I can look it up.
It's got to be low.
I mean, I think. Would you agree that you take away, like last year, you take away Mahomes and Jackson, Russell Wilson or Derrick Henry? I mean, either one of those.
Yep.
But Russell Wilson had an MVP like year
two. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
All right, AJ Brown. Better, worse, or the same? 52 receptions, 1,051 yards, 8 touchdowns.
I think if they run the offense that they want to run, those numbers will be right about there, maybe a little bit better. Because I think he'll start the year advanced. You know, I think what is going to evolve here in some direction is what do teams do to try to what will they learn over this offseason with all the time the defensive coordinators put in on studying why the Titans clicked so well? What will they try to do to slow down Henry? And if they slow down Henry, that could be more for A.J. Brown. What do they find out about A.J. Brown to challenge him and find out his tendencies? So all of that put into together, I'm going to say same. For A.J. Brown, I'd take that. I mean, in this offense, you want to run the ball a lot. You're not going to throw the ball enough for a guy in this offense to get 80 or 90 catches, likely, the way they spray the ball around.
Yeah, and based on what I said about Derrick Henry, I mean, I think it's not realistic to say, oh, yeah, A.J. Brown's going to be even better, because I feel like the offense is still going to be centered around the running back and around Derrick Henry. So I'm gonna go with Willie and say the same. But if it's slightly, I don't really worry about him having the sophomore slump. I don't feel like that's going to happen. But the offense may dictate that he doesn't get, you know, as many footballs thrown his way.
So your final, I think you answered all three. What was your final answer? I heard, I think, over,
same.
Under, same.
Same.
Okay. Jonnu Smith. 35 receptions, 439 yards, 3 touchdowns.
I'm going to say better. I think he'll take on a bigger role. I don't think it's 1,000-yard receiving kind of thing, but I think he'll have more production. Probably a few more catches. He's a big play guy. You know, I think that's what you look at from him. He's not a guy that's going to catch 8 passes in a game, but he's a guy that when you need a big play, he's, you know, one of those screens. He's a guy that could make people miss after the catch. Yeah, that's his role on the team. So I think because he's going to start off again in a bigger role than he started the season last year, I think his numbers should come around to be better.
Yeah, and he's one that has been able to work out and with Ryan Tannehill because they're both in the same area. So they have been able to be together and work out some. So I'm going to say better too based on that. And also, I mean, he was the one when Tannehill took the starting job right away, you saw that Jonnu Smith was his go-to guy. There was some familiarity between them because of how they had worked together in training camp. So I would say, and you know, there is no more Delanie Walker. He is the guy. So I would say it's going to be better.
According to William Hill, betting service, NFL MVP odds, Mahomes is a plus 350. Lamar Jackson is a plus 600. Russell Wilson is plus 800. Who's fourth? It's the first time I've seen this list.
Is Henry fourth?
No.
Who would be fourth? Brady?
But Wilson is third?
Wilson is third. Mahomes, Jackson, Wilson. Brady is fifth.
Ah.
Okay. I would take Henry over Brady.
But he said
Henry's way down there. Way down. Henry is plus 4,000. Plus 4,000. He has the same odds as Christian McCaffrey and Josh Allen.
Were they watching what happened in the playoffs last year? I'm sorry. Did they miss those games?
Obviously, they don't have a lot of faith in running backs. I don't know how you could – I don't know how Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey could have the same odds as Josh Allen for NFL MVP, in my
opinion.
That's
ridiculous.
I think that's ridiculous.
I might put two bits on that and take those odds. All right.
I mean, those are great odds. That's why I said,
yeah.
If you feel that strongly, plus 4,000, you're getting great odds.
Yeah, I'll say it right here on the show. I'm going to put something on it for Derrick Henry.
All right, do you have it named fourth?
I have Breeze.
Breeze is sixth. He's after Brady.
Jeez, we're all around it.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is ninth.
Should we get this, or are you asking because you don't think we're going to get it?
No, you absolutely should get it.
Geno Smith.
Kyler Murray is the same with Aaron Rodgers. They're both plus 2,500.
Dak?
Dak is plus 2,000. He's in between Breeze and Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers. It's who I said, Deshaun Watson. Plus 1,400. Goes Mahomes, Watson. Jackson, Wilson, Watson.
Watson.
I know. That's what I thought of when I said that.
Watson. He's good.
Saquon Barkley is the first running back on the list at plus 3,000. Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan and Josh Allen have better odds than Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. I don't buy that.
I'd like to see some other services and cross-check and see how they compare.
Am I right in saying and
William Hill was run by the Peaky Blinders, so you'll have to take that up with them.
am I right in saying that when, like, Lamar was a long shot last year to win it, and Mahomes, when he won it, was a long shot. Is that right, that they were both long shots to win MVP?
No. Mahomes, a long shot last year?
No, when he won it. He didn't win it last year.
Right, I know. He was coming off being the MVP.
Right. So the year that he actually won it at the beginning of the season, was he not a long
shot? He probably
shot?
Had some
of course.
Pretty good
he
odds.
Never,
probably
never had touched the field.
Odds. Same thing with Jackson. I think they were sort of just came on like wildfire.
Yeah, they both. Well, Jackson at least played a little. Mahomes may have touched the field just a smidge his rookie year, but it was all Alex Smith. I mean, he just sat there with a clipboard for the most part. So there was no
the
way
last
of knowing.
When was the last time the favorite actually won the MVP?
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Like I Brady, mean, one of Brady's? Or
yeah,
Peyton.
Brady's and Peyton's, of the, Brett Favre. You know, all those guys, they were favorites for a long – yeah. I mean, I'm sure – I don't think it's crazy that the favorites come in on that. So you guys both said over on Jonnu Smith?
Yeah.
Lastly, Corey Davis. 43 catches, 601 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Over.
Here we go.
I was like, if Willie doesn't say over, man, I'm coming through the equipment.
Willie's all about get your 84 jersey out, Willie. Yeah, I'm going under.
You're going, under.
I'm going under. I'm prove me wrong, Corey Davis. Prove me wrong.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're going to keep answering over to everything, Chase, you're going to have them at about 14-2, would be my guess.
Yeah, no, under. And I didn't answer over to – I answered over to Derrick Henry, and I said the same with AJ. Yeah, under Corey Davis.
Yeah, all right. We will come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, so he will begin the fourth and final hour here of Darren, Donick, and Chase. I brought up Peaky Blinders, and Willie, tonight I will wrap it all up. Tonight, final episode. This is it. Episode 6 in Season 5. And I got to be honest, our friends from Atlanta who we watch these things together, we talk about it on a Zoom call every Friday, and they are done. They just wrapped it up last night, and they have already told us, thanks for talking us in. Because they were kind of ready to punt after season one. They just weren't sure it was for them. I said, I get it. I'm a little bit on the fence, but how about we just stick with it? It's gotten better and better every episode, and they were all in by the end. All in. So they were very thankful that they stuck with it. So we'll be making a decision on what's next tomorrow. Been kind of exploring Netflix, kind of figuring out what's kind of next. Narcos is one that's been brought up to us.
I've heard that's good.
That I think is going to be, is definitely on the list.
Have you never seen season one or two of Narcos, or are you talking about the new Narcos?
Well, there's Narcos Mexico, and then there's the, we were told not Narcos Mexico, but the.
So Pablo Escobar, Narcos. Yeah. Yes, that's actually really good. Yes. Actually, it's really good.
I think it's 30 episodes, kind of like Ozark and Peaky Blinders.
You're going to really have to pay attention because you're going to read the subtitles like a lot.
Yeah, but that's all right. We switched to subtitles. Remember, Willie, when I was telling you I was having a hard time with. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we've done subtitles the rest of the way, and that's been good.
The friends
from Atlanta, they chose not to. I suggested it. They chose not to, and they went the whole time. Because Arthur's a little difficult at times, and Alfie was the hardest. Alfie's character is very,
some of,
was
some
very,
of the gypsies,
very hard.
Man, you got no shot.
Yeah, it's
you're...
hard. So the subtitles were good for us. And no, it didn't serve as a distraction.
Okay.
Who's your favorite villain in Peaky Blinders, Darren?
Well, I've said this.
Because Alfie is all time one of the all time greats. In our private
discussions about this, I compared Alfie to Ruth. Like they were characters at the beginning I could not stand, But as it went along, I loved their characters. I loved their characters. So they kind of had, they were a little bit similar for me. Ralphie and Ruth were kind of, they served kind of the same purpose for me. Started off disliking them a lot, and then they became kind of like one of my favorite characters.
And you don't know, the great thing is you're not quite sure who's good, who's bad. Sometimes, including Alpha.
Well, that's right? Ralphie and Ruth, right? That's that they fit into that category.
Yeah, they're kind of straddling the fence. You know, they're kind of weaving back and forth. It's very compelling stuff.
Yeah, Arthur's my. Arthur's my favorite character. Like, I just love.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's the best. He's got issues.
He's got issues. He's got big issues.
He's got a lot of issues. And at times, especially when he's drinking, he's hard to understand. But apparently the guy who plays Thomas Shelby is, this is what I've been told. I haven't done we've done a lot of talking about him. He obviously is
Cillian
a tremendous
Murphy
actor.
Is his name.
Yes. And have you heard the same thing, that he really doesn't like to be in the limelight at all? He kind of keeps to himself. He's, you know, he just kind of does his thing. He's all about acting, but you don't really see much on him because he's real private and doesn't like the limelight. Have you seen anything of the sort?
No, I haven't read up on him. The first time I ever remember watching him, he was in the Batman series, the Dark Knight series, as the Scarecrow. That's the first time I think I ever saw him.
Okay. I was not familiar with him until watching this.
All right, but so you're looking for a new show. Is that what you're putting out
yes,
there, Dan?
Yes, because that's where we're going to, after tonight. We're,
all right, I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you another one that was very popular on the Predators traveling crew circuit, okay?
Okay.
It's called You.
You?
You.
As
not
the
letter
U.
Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
Y-O-U-U. You.
Okay. All right, I've written that down.
I'm going to put that on your list. I think that's right up your alley. I think that's going to be right up your alley.
Okay.
It's a little cray-cray. It's good.
Well, a little.
I'm coming
it's
off.
A lot of cray-cray. Yeah,
yeah. Ozark
Marquise,
and Peaky Blinders.
Have you seen it? You've seen
it? Come on.
Yeah, I've seen season one of it, and then I kind of went on to something else, but it was kind of creepy. I'm not going to lie.
Why'd you move on?
Well, I was watching like a lot of different shows. At the time, I was watching like that and The Irishman, and you know, watching The Irishman, you got to take like 2 days to watch that whole movie. And then I started watching The Wire, so I think I had like show overload at that point.
Okay. Well, we kind of did a little peeking around last night just to kind of, you know, see what's out there, to kind of start putting together a list. Narcos came up, like I said, and that Escobar, you know, Pablo Escobar, I'm usually in on.
But see,
anything with that,
I will say, if you start Narcos, my idea is you'll probably give up after season three. I'll just leave it at that. You just have to watch it.
But you think I'll give up on it?
Well, not even give up on it. You just won't. It won't intrigue you as much anymore after season two or three. Well, after season two. That's all I'm going to say, because I'll spoil it if I say why. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a very good catch.
It's not. That's when I gave up on it. I was just like, yeah, because the first couple seasons it was great, but then after it was just like, okay, I'm going to move on now.
Ryan Porth texted us and said Outer Banks. Not familiar with that.
No, don't watch
it.
I looked at the trailer of that. I looked at the trailer and I looked at it. So I was intrigued, but I haven't gone down that road. That's one. And I have not watched Narcos. I've had a lot of people tell me they like Narcos for sure. Chris Mason's a big Narcos guy. He's watched that. But Darren, for you, the profile that I think the algorithms that what you've watched, you is my candidate. I think it is pretty wild, man. It is pretty wild.
The Blacklist.
And again, the Predators plane, you're going to get a lot of good feedback from you.
Kathleena says the Blacklist is great. Love James Spader.
See, that's – well, some a couple of people have suggested Black because I love James Spader. I'm a huge, huge fan of James Spader, and I've been told by several people Blacklist for sure. Dollar, I think – we were watching kind of some trailers afterwards last night. Dollar, has anybody heard of Dollar? I think that was one that maybe grabbed our attention.
I haven't heard of that
one. I have not heard of.
Okay.
I never heard of that one.
All right, we will come back. Elliot Freeman on the other side to start the final hour. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.